as the Lord may be pleased to help me this afternoon, we'll turn again to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The 35th verse of the 8th chapter of the Acts. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Most of you know we seem to ramble around somewhat of this verse this morning, speaking a little of Philip and the eunuch who was baptized following the Lord in the waters of baptism, and how this man Philip was instructed, we can say, by God and constrained by God to enter into the chariot and to preach. To preach Jesus unto a poor man, a needy soul, a longing we believe he had in his heart for the living realities of the truth and the gospel. And he preached unto him Jesus. We tried to trace it out a little of the experience of these people who were first called by divine grace, and how they had been led along here a little and there a little to know more of the way that leads, shall I say, unto Christ and leads deeper into the truth, and having these things revealed unto them in their heart, things that they have handled and tasted and felt. First, a knowledge of themselves, and then a little leading from the pathway of grief and sorrow, respecting sin and their unbelief, and then into the mercy of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we made a few remarks how these people have been spoken to by the Lord in the effect that they has made upon them, and also brought to some hope in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing a little of his mercy that you have now been singing of. Let us try and go a little further, if I may be helped, this afternoon. Though in our closing remarks, I believe we mentioned of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the mediator, the one that is between God the Father and his church. And this is a wonderful sight when we are enabled to view it by faith, with a believing heart, that Jesus stands between the two, that is, as I've said, his Father, full of holiness and righteousness, and cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. And then Jesus is here to represent, shall I say, the Church of God, and the Church of God are all those whom the Lord Jesus Lord Jesus died for on the cross at Calvary. I believe then we made a few remarks, my memory seems to fail me, of the Lord Jesus being the heavenly physician, that he is the one who can so mercifully heal wounds, afflictions. I believe we spoke of one or two recorded in the gospel, how the Lord visited them and healed their afflictions. What a great God and merciful God we have. Well, this is the same Jesus that Philip tried to preach, and no doubt he did preach, for one made this remark again this morning. One would have enjoyed, as it were, the sermon, doubtless, what he preached before the eunuch. And he preached unto him Jesus. And that, I'm sure, is our desire, dear friends, as you come to the house of God. And I can assure you, it is so little and so little of him. But a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many. And preached unto him Jesus. Now, there are deeper things, I believe, than what we ever mentioned this morning. This morning was the speaking of the sinner being brought by the grace of God to Jesus. Now this afternoon I want to point out a little what he has done for the people. For the people, and no doubt Philip preached Jesus of what he had done and what he would do further. For we know that his work is not yet finished. It will continue unto the end of time. That is, in looking upon sinners and remembering them and blessing them, and by the Holy Spirit's help applying the mercy unto them, and preached unto him Jesus. No need for us, dear friends, to go back to the commencement of Jesus' life, for we all know that in a mysterious way he came to earth, a very mysterious, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, born as a babe from the womb of Mary, laid in the manger, yes, as a babe, like an ordinary babe, apart from one thing. The difference was this: we all born in sin and shapen in iniquity, having a nature in us that is carnal, same as all other babes, but Jesus was holy and spotless. Nothing of sin in him. He never had that nature, that sinful nature that you and I have. We are troubled with it. He was the holy, holy child of God, the Son of God. That we can but just lightly speak upon, but the depth of it, the mystery of it, is so, so great. But we read that he preached unto him Jesus. Well, this is the babe in the manger that we would desire to speak of. It is going forth from the manger. As a child, we are to remember, and we are thankful it's left on record, that when so young in years, it was manifest the wisdom of God in him. Do we not read how Mary and Joseph seemed to lost the child, this babe spoken of, for a little season? And eventually they returned unto Jerusalem and found him in the temple. And there was round him doctors, men of wisdom, natural and understanding. And they were amazed at his understanding and the wisdom and the answers he gave, though so young in years, I believe 12 years of age. And this is the one we desire to speak of. And Jesus grew to be a man, and we read of him as being the carpenter. What does that describe to us? What does it reveal to us? Isn't it this, that dear man, he he laboured for the bread that perisheth in a natural way. He was a carpenter. Dear friends, as we trace the life of the Lord Jesus, we prove he walked in many paths that his dear people have walked in and still are walking in. And I believe it's for this purpose, to sympathise with us in those pathways of trials and difficulties, even as we mentioned this morning, as Jesus went down into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, those many days, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Well, this Jesus then, as a carpenter, but still there was a work for him to do, and the work was this, to preach the gospel. And it was his own gospel. Philip, he preached unto this eunuch Jesus. And this is the very desires, I believe, of every man taught and sent of the Lord to preach Jesus. But Jesus, he preached his own gospel. And I've been amazed at times as I've read some of the discourses of the Lord Jesus, such as the 5th chapter of Matthew, and also in the Gospel of John. How simple was his preaching. It wasn't history. It was experimental truths. And I believe it is the experimental truths that we try to preach in these days, is by the blessing of God, food for the hungry, and living waters flow from that same direction that will give satisfaction to the spiritual thirst. Well, Jesus preached himself. Blessed, he said. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, and so on. Oh, that simple language, dear friend, drunk from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it was preaching. But he would preach his own gospel unto, in many cases, his own people. And yet, as he preached, there was others that heard him, having no understanding of it, nor any desire for him, or for the gospel. And alas, it is so today. There's a preaching sometimes, and the ear is deaf to it, having no desire to hear it. Was so in the days of the Lord Jesus. But there were a few there that heard and heard the prophet, and they welcomed the very words that dropped from the lips of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he preached when he was here on earth. Yes, a little, I believe, over 3 years, he set forth the riches of the gospel unto the poor and the needy, who came to him, seeking him, desiring to hear him, desiring to see him, and to be blessed with those blessings of the gospel. But here again, we must go a little further and preach unto him Jesus. Oh, friends, there's something very deep again. We mentioned this morning how Philip must have preached deep things unto the eunuch in respect of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he came to do a work, and he did. He had nothing left undone. But what did he pass through, dear friends? Oh, it's well to remember them. It's well to speak of them. We would, I speak with all reverence. It's good to whet our memory sometimes of the things that Jesus had to pass through, that we might be saved with an everlasting salvation. Jesus will, as Jesus passed along through his pilgrimage, the day came, the appointed day. There was a day appointed by God the Father from all eternity for his dear beloved Son to enter in to those deep things for the salvation of poor sinners. He went about on this earth in favor of them, in love to them, to remember them and do all that was necessary for them in providence and in soul experience. But there's something to be done. And this work that he was about to do was for a people. Not all. Not all. Jesus came and died on Calvary's cross for all that the Father had given him to redeem. But there was others. Others who had no knowledge of him or desired any knowledge. They was in their own wisdom. And often they said, away with him, away with him, crucify him. But the work he came to do was for a people. I believe it's spoken of in the Holy Scriptures. A holy people, a royal holy nation, a peculiar people, and so on. He came to do what? Why, to redeem them. And how was it to be done? Couldn't it have been done without Jesus? It was the way the Father had designed for his dear Son and for the salvation of his chosen people. The way was this, in and through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Dear friends, have you looked at it at times? You know there's not a soul glorified spirit in heaven from what has known Jesus and arrived safely through Jesus Christ and him only, through his righteousness and through his blood and so on. No way into heaven. I am the way. And that way, dear friends, is from the wilderness, the Hercanian, from the depth of the fall, to the realms of eternal bliss. So the Father had designed that his dear Son should walk this path, and it wasn't an easy path. It wasn't a comfortable path, dear friends. Oh, how often people cast it aside and say, well, Jesus died for me, so what more have I got to worry about? That's not the language of Zion, that's the language of the dead professor. The language of Zion is this, take me by faith, that I might have some knowledge of what thou hast passed through, that I might live. That's the language, I believe, of a child of God. Though it is a painful experience and deep waters entering into, yet it is the desire of the living to know more of what Jesus passed through, that they have been saved with an everlasting salvation. So we preach Jesus. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Apostle Paul, I know I've repeated these words in your hearing perhaps a number of times, but often comes to my mind what the Apostle said. I'm determined, he says, not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's putting all the glory, as it were, upon Jesus and that wonderful work of salvation in the garden and on Calvary's cross. He didn't want to hear anything else, but the one he wanted to hear and to read and to preach the one that had, in his great mercy and love, redeemed his soul from death and from hell. So we preach unto you Jesus. Jesus. It wasn't an easy path for our Lord Jesus to enter into in the garden. And how his disciples, those three disciples, fell asleep. Was it so with Jesus? No, no. Oh, the death. Why he experienced hell, dear friends. I was going to say a little of hell, far from it. He experienced hell. And by him experiencing such deep things, deep waters in that Garden of Gethsemane, he's opened the way. As we have led, as you have sung, Jesus is the way. And by that way, he has opened the channel of mercy and opened the way whereby sinners such as you and I may escape from the wrath and enter heaven. Preach unto him, Jesus, the sufferings. That wonderful discourse, or sermon, if you like to so call it, of the Lord Jesus in, I believe, the 16th of John, and how he is speaking to his disciples and telling them. He spoke right into their hearts. He knew their troubles. And he said unto them, ye now have sorrow, but I will see you again. He was informing them that he was leaving them for a time, for a short period. Little did they know what he was going to enter into and endure in body and in soul. He said, I will see you again. And true. Oh, how he fulfilled that promise that he gave to those disciples. Ye now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I've often thought, friends, how kind the Lord in that, how he instructed his dear disciples, those whom he loved, and how he was concerned respecting them, their sorrow of heart. Yet, think, what was he about to enter into? Sorrow of heart, yes, and pain in body, grief, yes, and even to agony. Yet he remembered his dear disciples and how it manifests his love. Well, they preach unto him Jesus. Jesus in the garden as well as upon the cross. That dear man hung upon the cross. They nailed him upon the cross. They took his life. No, no, no. He gave. We preach unto you Jesus. How he so willingly, lovingly bore the sins, every sin, of his chosen people. Sins past, sins present, sins to come, he bore upon that accursed tree. We preach unto you Jesus. And his love manifested in that, upon that cross. Well, who can describe it? And then to think, dear friends, that he took your sins, did he? Haven't you got some evidence within your poor heart this afternoon that he took your sins, called them his own, bore them in his own body, on the cross, in agony, that you might go free? Dear friends, if he did not bear your sins and mine on that cross, what hope are we of seeing him as he is in his glory? Well, we have that hope that we pass through some of those things we spoke of this morning, that he did die on Calvary's cross, that we might be saved. Not only the dying, but also how he has provided, even at Calvary, all that is necessary for a poor sinner to enter heaven. If we know what we are by nature and our sin, dear friends, do we not feel the need of cleansing? There's the cleansing on Calvary's cross. Oh, that precious blood. I wish I could speak of it. Wish I could preach it. Precious blood. Cleansing blood. Loving blood. You know, this blood of the Lord Jesus can remove everything that is in the spirit, in our souls. Everything that is of sin, nothing else can do. Now you have got it, and so have I, defiled throughout by sin. Jesus is the remedy. As I've said in your hearing, the malady is in us, but the remedy is in Christ. The remedy is in him. The precious blood. Dear friends, the deeper we are taught by the Spirit, not just in the letter of it, not in the reading of it, but by the Spirit, the deeper we are taught, the more we shall feel our need of that precious blood. I believe the more we shall earnestly desire it and pray for it and long for it, if we really know what sin is within us and what sin has cost the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, well might we then preach Jesus, Jesus. The only way, as we said, of salvation. The only way to be delivered. The Apostle Paul felt it. When he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and of death? He was weary of the journey, weary of the way, weary of himself, weary of sin, and so on. Yes, I preached, and he did, by the grace of God. He preached to many, hundreds of people. He preached unto them, Jesus, Jesus. Have we got an heart this afternoon, dear friends? Can we say, a little softened by his love, to receive it? Can you go with your arms stretched wide at times and earnestly take hold of him by faith? Take hold of him. Grasp him in the hands of, in your arms of faith. Preach unto him, Jesus. Precious Jesus. And here again we would just notice the wonderful love and compassion that he has. Still has. He hasn't changed. He's the same as he went to Calvary. He's the same today. Same as he is in heaven. And the poet has said, a man, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide. Calvary would not be forgotten throughout eternity. No, the song will be unto the Lamb that died on Calvary's cross. Preached unto him, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, that blessed fountain, I wish I could speak of it, that blessed fountain, flowing, dear friends, even at this time, flowing forth freely, lovingly, to meet the poor of this people, the poor, the sinner, who needs to be cleansed, wants cleansing, feel he cannot do without it, longing for the application of it. in Jesus, Jesus only. And he preached unto him, Jesus. Now this Jesus, as we mentioned this morning, he is still living. He's still living. What a mercy. Not a dead Christ. Oh, I speak with reverence. No, he's a living Saviour. A living Redeemer. A living priest. High priest at that. Yes, he is, has been called the Apostle. Apostle who preached. The high priest who shed his blood. Yes, the mediator who's in heaven on the right hand of his Father. Oh, to preach also the resurrection, dear friends. Resurrection power, think of it. Do you know a little of it? I trust we know a little of this resurrection power within our own hearts. You say, when do I have this sweet experience sometimes when we are at prayer, pleading his name, when the Holy Spirit comes, when there's a felt sense of his help and mercy, why, then we can say, he's risen. Christ is risen. Those dear disciples, such as John and others, oh, how they proved he's risen. As he there's other miracles performed after his resurrection. And then at a later date, as he took those disciples, as it were, and lifted up his hands and blessed them, and then was parted from them. We preach Jesus. Jesus from the manger to the cross, and from the cross to that time when he was seen ascending in the clouds and what? Returning unto his Father. We little know, dear friends, yet we would preach it, little that we do know of that pathway that he trod from the time he came to the time he returned unto his Father. And now in heaven, is he to be preached? He is. And I believe the Lord is still having his prophets and minister preach Jesus. Jesus. He is the one thing needful. As I said this morning, he is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Though he is in heaven, though the work he came for is accomplished, everything to perfection, his Father is satisfied, and now he is returned, yet he is still to be preached. And the way he trod also to be brought forth, the poor sinners, yea, as the lambs are brought into the fold, and brought to a knowledge of themselves, and quickened by divine grace, a long to ever ear to ear of Jesus. Yes, where there is a real concern, even amongst the lambs as well as the sheep, in the fold of God, there's this desire to hear of Jesus. And preached unto him Jesus. And dear friends, throughout eternity, it'll be Jesus. The song will flow in that direction, to Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, yes. We can't explain it, but sometimes there's this longing desire to be amongst them that shall praise him throughout eternity, and to crown him, and to enter into the song, into that blessed song, as it were, with all the redeemed in heaven in glory, to praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I feel I must leave it for this afternoon, as we have the ordinance to attend to. The Lord, forgive what has been spoken amiss, what has been right in His sight. May He bless it unto you. Amen.